This episode of Shaun of the South is brought to you by Case Knives, a tradition of my family dating back to my granddaddy, who once said the best cure for idle hands was to build something. So keep your hands sharp with a Case Knife. And by Folklore Brewing and Meadery, quite literally the best brew in Alabama. Visit folklorebrewingandmeadery.com.
Strong. Save me, Jesus, from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, Lord. Let me walk, Lord, close to Thee. Just closer walk with Thee. Need Jesus, it's my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, let it be. Is old. Time for me gonna be no more. Got me gently safely, oh, to your shore, Lord God, to your shore. Just close to walk with Thee. Grant Jesus, it's my plea. Yes, stay close to walk with Thee. Let it be, let it be.
This is a bass player, so. Player, but let me tell you, they're expensive.
Just a closer walk with Thee.
You think I'm kidding?
Granted, Jesus, it's my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
My granny's favorite verse. Just remember it.
When I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes will close in death, guide me gently, safely, oh, to your shore, to your kingdom shore. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, it's my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, first time I ever got a guitar, I was 9 years old. My uncle was living with us at the time in an RV at the edge of our property, right next to the cows. We used to wander next to the barbed wire fence. I can still see that old Dodge Champion 1956 RV, which was painted sky blue because my uncle got a discount at the hardware store on some clearance paint. Now, if you looked at it just right, that sky blue Dodge Champion RV blended in with the actual sky itself so that it looked like almost a mirage sitting out there. He used to sit out there and he would drink beer while he was talking to the cows. And sometimes, just to amuse himself, he'd pour some of that beer into a big white enamel bowl and he'd place it out there for the cow Barbara. He named her Barbara to drink. My mother would say, "What are you doing? You can't do that. Feed cow some beer." He said, "Don't worry, don't worry. It takes a lot of booze to get a woman this size drunk." He was our family musician. He was the family artist, the family philosopher and stoic. He always wore overalls every day of his life and a stained white t-shirt underneath. For special occasions, he would wear a blazer over the whole outfit. And he played the accordion, he played the guitar, a little bit of mandolin. He knew a little bit about everything. And so one day I asked him if he would teach me to play the guitar. He said, "Well, do you have a guitar?" And at the time, I really didn't. My father had a guitar, but I wasn't really allowed to touch that. He said, "Well, we got to get you a guitar." I said, "Well, I've got a little bit of money saved." He said, "Well, bring that piggy bank over here." So I brought that piggy bank over to him, and he dumped it out on the floor of his RV, started sifting through it. He said, "You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing." He said, "Don't you got anything you could hawk?" Well, I didn't really. So he told me to go up in the attic. So I went up into my family attic with him one day when no one was paying attention. We found this big shrink-wrapped dress. He said, "I think this will do just fine." We walked into that little pawn shop, that little ugly pawn shop, and the man behind the counter said, "Huh." So we hawked my mother's wedding dress to buy my first guitar. I saw it over there on the very, very edge of the wall. It was a beautiful mahogany-colored faded instrument with the Gibson logo on it. But it wasn't a nice Gibson. This is a student model Gibson. That means that most the people who played this before me in the years of its existence were students who cared more about passing notes around in class and whatnot. But this is a 1956 Gibson student model. And I learned how to play it. My Uncle John taught me how to play it with he called it the telepathic method. I said, "Aren't you going to give me lessons?" He said, "Well, I don't think you need lessons." He said, "You can figure out how to play anything if you want it bad enough. So just, you got to think. So I thought, and I tried everything I could do to get a sound out of this instrument. I flicked it, I kicked it, I threw it down the steps, I beat it like a drum. Finally, mercifully, my uncle put strings on the thing. Let me tell you, that made a world of difference. One of the first songs I learned was this.
I miss you.
darling, more and more every day. Is heaven would miss them stars above. With every heartbeat I still think of you. And I remember I fade in love. As I think of the past and all the memories we've had, and I remember the maiden of the dove. As I think in the springtime when you came to me, and I remember our fate in love. Well, I miss you, darling, more and more every day. As heaven would miss them stars above. With every heartbeat I still think of you. And I remember I fade in love. As I think of the memories that you gave to me, and I remember our faded love. Nice. Well, I appreciate that very much. I was recently asked to perform before several hundred Baptist ministers, staunch Baptist ministers. Now, ministers are an interesting lot. They really are. They're not like you and me. You see, they're used to having people look at them for answers, and so they're used to having the answers even when they don't have the answers. And this changes a person, and they kind of sit a little more erectly than you and I do, and they kind of, when they shake your hand, they lean in a little bit further than you do, and sometimes they'll use a two-handed handshake, and they like to make a lot more eye contact than you and I do. They'll bore a hole right into your skull, keeping eye contact. That's because these are important tactics for ministers to use in order to convert people to the faith. There are several different kinds of Baptists. There are 137 different kinds of Baptists worldwide. Because we are the kind of congregation who is not happy unless we're having a split every 5 years. I'm not making this up. You got straight ahead Baptists, mainline Baptists, evangelical Baptists, primitive Baptists, independent Baptists, missionary Baptists, free will Baptists, which have no free will at all. You have Pentecostal Baptists, Seventh-day Baptists. You have the kind of Baptist my mother was, which was a Presbyterian. And then you have just the deep-water Baptist variety, which believes in foot washing on Wednesdays, communion on Sundays, and they believe in baptizing rowdy children over and over and over again until it sticks. Now, the word Baptist literally means hold him under until he bubbles. And I have been baptized many times, but it never really stuck with me, in as much as I was a little bit of a good-timing young man. I learned how to play this here guitar, for instance, in a beer joint. Not a bar, not a tavern, but a beer joint. located way, way, way up in the sticks. And this old man had a band that he called the Rumblers. And it was a country western band, and I just idolized these old guys. And they let me play with them. And on my 14th birthday, the guys in the band said that I needed to have something special done for me. And since this was a beer joint, they went to the bar and Miss Linda filled up a thimbleful shot glass of beer and they gave it to me on my 14th birthday. And my soul has been in danger of hellfire ever since. Well, I tell you this because Baptist ministers are not really my lot. They're very, very serious men. They have to be. Because from a very young age, Baptist ministers are called to the ministry at 12 years old. From a very young age, they're expected to have the answers. So I was pretty certain that looking out among all these several hundred Baptist ministers that I was going to get stoned to death. I mean, you can even just tell by the way they sit with their wives. There's just something about them. There's something very upright and holy about these men, something godly. This is why we know that Adam himself was the founder of the Southern Baptist Convention, Adam and Eve. We know he was a Southern Baptist because only a Southern Baptist could stand next to a naked woman and think about fruit. Anyway, I wrote this song especially for that Baptist convention because I felt like I needed something to connect with these fellas with. Let's see if I can remember it here. Halfway about the Baptist way we treat you when we treat you, which we may not do at all. Oh, we're a generous kind with a fundamentalist attitude we've never been without that we recall. We can be cold as the falling thermometer in December if on Sunday you are unaccounted for. And we're so doggone friendly, we will always give a great big wave, except when we are in the liquor store. But what the heck, you're welcome, join us at the potluck. But if you bring a store-bought cake, we're asking you to leave. You really ought to give our little church a try. You really ought to give our little church a try. Welcoming sort when the visitors come to see us, when they see us, which we really think is swell. There is nothing unkind about the way our pastor preaches when he preaches that they're probably going to hell. Oh, we can be ugly as green olives and jello salad with extra pineapple if you attend our business meetings, and furthermore, we believe in forgiveness, which is why we know your business, so that we know what we should be praying for. But what the heck, you're welcome, join us at the meeting. We value your opinion as long as you keep it to yourself. You really ought to give our little church, you really ought to give our little church, ooh, a try. We can be cold as the falling thermometer in December if you ask about our weather in July. And we're so doggone stubborn we can stand touching noses for a week at a time and never see eye to eye. You really ought to give our little church, our dear old little church, you ought to give our little church, you ought to give our little church a try. dark and a troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we greet with darkness and strife, the sunny side also we may view. Keep on the sunny side, always on that sunny side. Keep on that sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It will brighten all our ways if we keep on that sunny side of life. Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though our moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always, that the sun again will shine bright and clear. Keep on the sunny side, always on that sunny side. Keep on that sunny side alive. It'll help us every day. It will brighten all our ways if we keep on that sunny side of life. Pick it, Sean. Its glory broke today, crushing hopes that we cherish so deep. And in time it'll all pass away, and the sun again will shine bright and clear. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on that sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. We'll brighten all our ways if we keep on that sunny side of life. My grandmother watched some Billy Graham crusades on her little Philco television, wood grain, with a television screen about the size of a piece of Wonder Bread. Same TV my mother grew up watching TV on back when the American cowboy ruled the airwaves. Hopalong Cassidy, Lone Ranger, Howdy Doody, The Roy Rogers Show. My grandmother used to love more than anything when George Beverly Shea would come on, because he would sing that glorious song, "Just As I Am," without one plea. She'd watch these crusades, I would always be sitting between her and the television, because I was my granny's remote. Whenever she needed a volume adjustment or a channel change, she'd look at me and she'd say, "Hey, change that channel. Turn that volume up." And in the middle of George Beverly Shea's song, it was almost always a request for a volume change. He'd be singing "Just As I Am." She'd say, "Get up, turn that up." walk up to that TV and I'd flip it all the way to max, and you could hear the tweed speaker vibrating inside from years of distortion. And she would sing every lyric to that hymn without ever once dropping a cigarette out the corner of her mouth. I can remember going with my granny to the church potlucks over which she was one of the old women who presided. All these beautiful old women with the coiffed silver hair, they would make these wonderful dishes and they'd pile them up on card tables. And I can still smell it when I walk into that little room in the back of that little church. And still smell the chicken Devon, the chicken broccoli casserole, chicken cheese casserole, chicken onion casserole, chicken casserole, chicken pot pie, chicken and dumplings, fried chicken, both original recipe, extra crispy, fried in a little black skillet, doused with black pepper. And when all the food was ready, they usually asked someone to pray. And one time they asked my granny to pray. Now my granny was a a nice woman, but she did not have a public speaking voice. She had a very, very low voice from years of cigarette smoke. It had paralyzed one of her vocal cords so that whenever she answered the phone, she had a voice like a tuba. Whenever she did answer the phone, most men would say, excuse me, is this Mr. Seaton? She'd say, no, I'll go get him for you. She also had a wandering eye, my grandmother. Her left eye wandered a little bit and would drift in the middle of a conversation so that you weren't sure what was happening to her. A lot of people thought she was having a stroke. But it had been like that for a long time, long, long time, and so because of this, she leaned her head to the left in order to straighten that eyeball out. Which is why in photographs of my grandmother, you can see her leaning her head all the way to the left. Which is why my mother, even though she has a perfect eye, leans her head all the way to the left for photographs. Which is why me, even though I have two perfect eyes also, lean my head to the left during a photograph. You should see our family photos. We look like there's a strong gravitational pull to the west. And I can remember my grandmother standing up there to pray publicly. Something she probably was a little nervous to do, and she took the little microphone over the public address system and she began to speak. And her voice was so low that it rumbled the rafters. It made the preacher jealous because he'd been trying for years to get that baritone quality that my grandmother came by naturally. And my grandmother said a short prayer. She said, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." And then she sang this song. Thank you. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best of a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross will I ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear, till he calls me away to a home far away where his glory forever I'll share. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Recently, my wife and I took a bike trip across four U.S. states. I see you laughing there in the back. And you have every right to laugh, because you can look at me, you can tell I'm the kind of guy who should not be riding across his driveway, let alone four U.S. states. We started our trip in Steel City, Pittsburgh, the backbone of America. Also, possibly the shoulder blades and the pelvis. And we weaved downward to the Keystone State, to Maryland, the old Lion State, following the Great Allegheny Passage through the Allegheny Mountains. And we followed the trail through Cumberland, Maryland, into the Mountain State of West Virginia, onto the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal towpath, George Washington's favorite place on planet Earth, where we rode through several hundred miles of sludge and muck and slop that hadn't been maintained since the Punic Wars. We finally ended our journey in Washington, D.C., the glorious state of Virginia. We crossed the line. We finally found ourselves in front of the Lincoln Memorial. And we were done. And I felt compelled, when this was all said and done, to write a book about it. And when my publishers asked me what I wanted to call the book, I said, you know, there's really only one title for it. And it's a three-word title. Let me count that. One, two, three. A three-word title that is from a children's song, kind of a nursery rhyme song that you recognize probably well, a song that your granny probably sang to your mother, a song that your mother probably sang to you, and that you sing to your children. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when the skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Oh, please don't take my sunshine away. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when the skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Oh, please don't take my sunshine away. Say it's only a paper moon hanging over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Say it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your touch, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your touch, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed. If you believed, if you believed in me. This next song is a song my uncle wrote. He wrote a song for, I believe it was his, let's see, 7, 8, 9, 10th wife. He wrote this for her. I love to sing about romantic love more than anything else because it's just, it's the basis for all good poetry, all good books, all good songs. There's nothing like giving your heart to another. Nothing like it. You know, no matter how science advances and how modern we become as a society, modern science always comes to the same conclusion that men and women are different. And it's true. You know it. I know it. We're extremely different. Take sleep. When a man sleeps and a woman sleeps, two very different things are happening in the neurological system. When a woman sleeps, 70% of her brain's electrical activity is awake. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. When a man sleeps, 90% of his brain electrical activity is asleep, at which point he switches to natural gas. But the interesting part is, we all start out in the fetus the very same. The first 7 weeks of our lives in the womb, we are all baby girls. After 7 weeks, testosterone ravages the brain of baby boy. And the only people laughing at that are women, because we know it's true. But it has to be this way. Testosterone is a desensitizer, and it makes one less susceptible to pain, makes one of the genders the protector. And we embrace this immediately as a culture. What do you see? When a person has a baby girl, what does a baby girl get? She gets pink balloons, pink ribbons, pink blankets, pink booties. When a boy is born, what does he get? Circumcised. Dr. Pepper, you like Sprite. You got me feeling alright. Oh, come on, baby, why don't we? I like Dr. Pepper, you like Sprite. You got me feeling alright. Come on, baby, why don't we drink Coca-Cola and fall in love? Think of all the fun you miss. Think of all the boys you could have kissed. You got a sweet tooth for your sweetheart, because she has your complete heart. You like Dr. Pepper, I like gin, but I can do it all over again. Come on, baby, why don't we drink Coca-Cola and fall in love? So mad. Got a sweet tooth for my sweetheart. That's why we could never part. I like Dr. Pepper, you like Sprite. You got me feeling alright. Come on, baby, why don't we? Come on, baby, why don't we drink Coca-Cola and fall in love? Thank you. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he brings to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him all the night. Around us is falling, but he bids me go with a voice of woe. His heart in me is calling. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. If you allow me to be a little bit rude here, I need to check my watch and just see how much longer we have in this thing. I know. I'm ready for it to be over with, too. My granddaddy actually gave me this watch about 10 minutes before he died. Yeah. He charged me $85. He was a good man. My earliest memory of him is sitting on his porch swing with his fedora hat pushed backward up onto his head. That fedora had been all around the world with him and looked like it had been drugged through the mud and the dirt and the slop of France and Italy. And I can remember him carving little blocks of basswood with his butter-yellow dual-bladed case knife, which is why I have a lifelong affection for case knives, which is why this podcast is sponsored by Case Knives, a tradition of my family dating back to my granddaddy, who once said the best way to cure idle hands was to build something, so keep your hands sharp with a case knife. And I remember my granddaddy once got really, really sick. He wasn't able to carve. He wasn't able to play his mandolin. And my grandmother, she knew that something was happening, and there was just this quilt of sadness hanging over the house. My grandmother went down to the kitchen. She started rustling things up. My grandfather was laid upstairs in that little bed. One day, he started to smell something. He got real excited about it. And he felt some of his strength return. He crawled out the bed, swung his feet onto the ground, and he eased down the steps, holding onto that rail for support. When he got to the kitchen, he saw it there, sitting on the counter, a thin stream of steam rising from a little pie dish. It was a blueberry pie, my grandmother's famous blueberry pie. And he stumbled across the linoleum toward that pie, and he somehow managed with his weakening strength to get himself a slice onto a plate. And no sooner had he cut into that first slab of pie than my grandmother smacked him upside the head and said, "That's for your funeral." Miraculously, he recovered after that. You can chalk that up to the healing powers of blueberry, I guess. Miraculous stuff. My granddad always used to say was this: always remember to forget the things that made you sad, but never, ever forget to remember the things that made you glad. Always remember to forget the friends that proved to be untrue, but never forget those who stuck by you. Always remember to forget the troubles that passed away, but don't you ever forget the little blessings you receive each day. Count your blessings one by one. Count your blessings three by three. Count your blessings no matter how many or few they may be. I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Just tell my friends that I'm coming too. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, coming for to carry me home. But still my soul is heavenly bound, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Coming for to carry me home. I fly away. Hey, thank you very much for having me. It's been a wonderful pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for listening to Shaun of the South. I've been your host tonight, Shaun Dietrich, and man, it's been a bona fide privilege coming to you live each week like we do over these podcast airwaves and radio waves all over this fine nation. This episode was brought to you by Kay Snives, a tradition of my family dating back to my granddaddy, who once said the best cure for idle hands was to build something. So keep your hands sharp with a Kay Snife. And by Folklore Brewing and Meadery, quite literally the best brew in Alabama. Visit folklorebrewingandmeadery.com. We're going to be taking a short podcast break for the next several weeks because we will be on the road recording new podcasts for new audiences for your listening pleasure. We hope you come out and see us while we're on tour. Lord knows we're hard to keep up with. We bounce around. You might find us in the back of a Rotary Club meeting clubhouse, or you might find us in a little theater in North Carolina. To find anything more about what I do, you can visit shaunofthesouthshow.com, and there you can find archived episodes dating back to our first episode all the way to the one you just heard. Although I don't know why you listened to it, you must have terrible taste in podcasts. While you're there, I hope you take the time to drop me a line, tell me about your birthday announcements, wedding invitations, and potluck socials, and I'll do my best to read that stuff over the air for my friends, because I love to do that sort of stuff for my friends. And speaking of friends, friends, I hope you have a good day, but if you don't, I hope you have a decent day. Adios.